Up talent or what here? I tell you, hallelujah. It's exciting to see what God's doing, isn't it? You just have to let God do what he wants to do in your life. Step out and do it. That's what you have to do. I want to welcome all the kings and priests of God that are in this place. I want to welcome all the prophets. I want to welcome those that God has bestowed the gifts of healings and faith and miracles in this place today. God is raising up people. And when God speaks to you, he wants you to obey whatever it might be. And I pray you'll do that. I want us to turn to Romans chapter 1. We're going to go through this until we get it. And I'm preaching to myself most of the time. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. And I'm really teaching how to stay full of God, how to listen to the Lord, and how to have God work in your life. I think some people just join a church just to be belong to something. And I don't think they expect God to do anything. I really don't. The average Christian does not expect God to speak to them for a lot of reasons. Number one, they may think they're not worthy. They may think of all the things they've done in the past, and they say, well, God was going to speak to the nice Christians. Well, you know, I find it's just the opposite. I find sometimes the ones that have gone through the most hear God the best because they're grateful for what God has done. And I think that's extremely important. And I guess we could say this is being full of God, and it's also putting yourself in a position, because God will speak to any of us. And we need to be listening. In Romans 1:21, it says, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, I'm talking about even Christians today that have a darkened heart, and I'm going to talk about that, because if your heart is darkened, you can't hear from God. And I want everybody here to be able to hear from God. There's a lot of reasons we don't hear from God. God says in the Bible, he's no respecter of persons. That means he can speak to anybody. Any single one of us. And I think we hinder God a lot of times because we're angry with somebody. We don't want to get rid of our anger. We're mad at somebody most of the time. And if you're mad at somebody or mad at God, you're not going to hear from the Lord, because your heart is going to be darkened. If you believe that, say amen. So the issue is, we have to get our life cleaned up. We have to be in an attitude of forgiveness. We have to forgive our enemies. We have to even forgive our friends. We have to forgive our mates of whatever they've done. I mean, total forgiveness. You just have to make a choice to forgive. And when you make a choice to forgive and you get in the Word of God and you get around God's people, you're going to hear from God. Now, I'm going to tell you two stories here. I'm going to repeat one from last time, and I'm going to this one this time, because there was one person that heard from God and didn't obey and died. And there was another person that obeyed God and did what he said and lived. Now, these are two true incidents that happened some time ago. The first one was what I talked about last time, Keith Green. And he was the singer and songwriter, and he was going to fly for a trip down to South America. His wife had a dream and said, don't go, the plane's going to crash. The pilot of the plane said, I don't think we should go, because the plane's overweight and we're going to be in trouble. And he said, he didn't pay any attention. He said, we're going. They took off, hit some power lines, crashed. Not only the pilot died, Keith Green died, and two of his kids died. Just very simply because he heard God and didn't obey him. Then there was a guy named John G. Lake. He was a famous man that had healing places around the country, and particularly out in Washington, I believe, Seattle, or one of Spokane, or one of those places. But anyway, one time he was driving up a very narrow two-lane mountain road, and he was driving up in the right lane, which was the normal lane to drive up, but he was coming to a curve, and God said, pull over into the left lane and stop. Just as clear as a bell. Pull over into the left lane and stop. Well, normally you pull over in the left lane, there's going to be oncoming traffic. You're in big trouble. Well, he pulled over in the left lane and stopped. And about 2 seconds later, a logging truck was coming down, couldn't make the curve, went over into the right lane. And if he'd have stayed and continued the way he was going, all of them would have died. And so God will speak to you, particularly when something's going to come in your life that can be harmful or dangerous or whatever, because you're God's kids. He's the Father, and He's going to speak to His kids. So what we have to do is have our receiver in condition to hear God. And that's what we all need. And so we've been talking about basic things to get our receivers so we can hear God. Number one, put God first in your life. Amen. Number two, be thankful for everything God's done and is going to do. And number three, put the Word of God and the things of God in your imaginations. I'm going to tell you what I can see. I can see in my imagination this congregation knocking down Goliath and chasing the Philistines all over the place. I can see this church of God and this people of God raising up such a voice to the Lord that people are being saved and healed all over this city. I can see God raising up people in this place and going out and singing somewhere and people be healed. I can see God raising up preachers and teachers in this congregation and making a difference in this life. I can see those things because I have my imagination open to the things of God. And so whatever your imagination is like the film in a camera, it's going to take in what you put in it. It's going to take in. So we've been talking about having a natural mind and having a spiritual mind. Now, if you have things of the Spirit in your imagination, that's what you're thinking about, and that's what you're seeing, that's what's going to take place in your life. But if all you see is the natural things, what you can see, taste, smell, hear, etc., and if that's all that's in your imagination, that's all you're going to accomplish in life. And everything you can see is temporary. Everything in the Spirit is eternal. So what God wants us to do while we're still breathing and living in this life is to fill our imaginations with eternal things so that God can use us now, and He's certainly going to use us later. Somebody said, I heard this, that there were probably something like 100 billion galaxies out there someplace. You know what I think God has done? I think He's created a galaxy for every single one of His kids. And I think we're going to be involved in that in eternity. I really do. I believe that's why He made all those galaxies. What's the purpose of them if He didn't make them for His kids and for Himself? And so therefore, we want to start learning how to take in these things of God now so that we certainly, when we get to be with the Lord, just be second nature. And so there isn't anything that every single one of us can do what God wants us to do, how big or how small, if we hear from God and we put that into our imagination and picture us doing that and speaking it out in life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we got to get all the stuff out of our life that's in the way and a hindrance to us hearing God. And the worst one is usually unforgiveness. I'll be honest with you. A person that is not forgiving is one of the most miserable people there are, whether they're Christians or whatever they are. Because God never intended for us to be, it's like poison in your soul. It's like drinking arsenic and poisoning your body. Unforgiveness is poison to your soul. It'll make you sick. It'll make you discouraged. It'll make you want to give up. It'll make you want just to get out of here, so to speak. And so that's so important to God. Now, God absolutely is not a respecter of persons. He is always speaking to us, every single one of us. And particularly when he wants to prevent you going through something. And if you'll listen, you will avoid a lot of problems in this life. Now, if your heart is darkened, if you've darkened it with various things, then you're not going to hear the message and you're going to miss out on what God has to say in your life. God is always speaking, and he wants our heart that's filled with eternal things to guide our life. That's his desire. A carnal mind is very simply a natural mind. I really believe 2/3 of the Christians in churches today are living with a carnal mind. That means a fleshly mind. They are not taking in the things of God. They don't have God in their imaginations. They don't imagine God using them to do anything. And so therefore, they depend on the natural things instead of the supernatural things. God has you breathing right now and has you alive so that you will learn how to receive the supernatural things of God in this natural world. And that means every single one of us. That means if God gives you an ability, a talent, use it for him. If God has given you the ability to speak, speak for Jesus. If God's given you the ability to sing, sing for Jesus. Whatever God has given you the ability to do, do it for him. And if you're constantly being thankful, constantly putting God first, then your life's going to change. You're going to hear from God. How would it be in the morning if you woke up and God said, I want you to call so-and-so today just to encourage them. I want you to call so-and-so and I want you to pray for them because they're sick. I want you to stop by on your way home from work and visit this person, or stop by the hospital and pray for this person. I will guarantee you, if your heart's open to God and you're receptive to God, you will hear those kind of things. And if you do them, then God will bless you with more. And that's the way he works. He expects you to hear from him. It's a matter of learning to hear from God. Now, God puts wisdom in our heart. And if we listen to that wisdom in our heart, then we're going to be wise. The Bible says we seek wisdom above all things. Not above God, of course, but to seek wisdom above all things. Look in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. And here's what it says. We are not to stay the same when you become a Christian. You're supposed to be growing in the Lord. And have put on the new man that is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. In other words, we're supposed to be continually looking to Christ and his image. And we're to put on him. We're to put Christ on. We lived without God before. Now we're to live with God, if you want to put it that way. God in you. Look in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. Now, I want you to see something here, and you need to underline this and put your name by it, because this is a personal message to you, this scripture right here. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. It's possible for you to know all things. It's possible for you to know every single thing you need to know to live the way God wants you to do now. Because God said He's put it in you. If you're a Christian, you have the unction or the power or the anointing of the Holy Spirit to know all things. And that's a wonderful thing. It's our spirit, not our brain, that knows all things. Your brain doesn't know all things. The only thing your brain knows is what you've learned over a period of time, up from the time you were born to now. What you learned in school, what you've read in books, what you've seen on television, that's all your brain knows. But your spirit knows the things of the living God. And so every single Christian has this ability if they know the Lord. If your heart is darkened, then you're not going to be able to hear these things of God. Sometimes He speaks in a still small voice. Now, He spoke to Keith Green by his wife and by the pilot of the plane. He spoke to John G. Lake with still small voice in him, said, pull over to the left and stop. Saved his life. You see. And we have to be sensitive enough to hear those things, because a lot of times what happens, we hear God speaking, we don't know what it is. We're not realized it's from God. And you just kind of pass it over. Oh, that's just some thought I had. I don't know where it came from. Well, many times it comes from God. And so we want to be listening to the Lord. Many times it's a still small voice. We must trust our heart more than our heads to be a successful Christian. The heart is where you believe unto righteousness and you're saved. It's the same place that God puts His information. And so we want to see this. We want to put that on the screen of our life and meditate on those things. I'll explain a little bit more about that in just a minute. Look in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. This says, now look at this, but the path of the just. Now what that means, the path of the justified ones in Jesus Christ, that means the saved ones. The path of the justified ones is like the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Now the perfect day is when you're going to be with Jesus. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Look at that. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a crooked mouth and perverse lips, but far from you. Let your eyes look right on, let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. So what he's saying there is that, obviously, it says that the path of the justified ones are like a shining light. The path of the ones that are not justified is darkness. So it's that same thing, light and darkness. Look in Psalm 119 and verse 11. Psalm 119 and verse 11. Now, you know, most of you probably know this verse, but God means what He says and says what He means. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, the way that you're going to follow a straight line, the way you're going to hear from God is get the word of God in your heart and keep it in there and meditate on it. And then you're going to begin to hear from God, and then you're going to see the path of God that he has for you, because God has a path for every single person that's ever born. Yes, life comes from the heart. Now, it's an amazing thing. They don't teach you this in school. All they do in school is try to educate your brain. And they don't talk about spiritual things at all. So really what they're doing, in a sense, is educating you in darkness. We make ourselves go to school, but we don't take time to get into the Word of God, which is where the real life is. You see. And the problem is everybody is so busy flying around doing all kinds of things and they're not in the Word of God, and then they can't figure out why they're in a mess. I'm talking about Christians. You see, we have to command that we get ourselves to get into the Word of God. And then you have to meditate on that. Now, many people don't have a clue that they can hear from God. They have not got a clue. They think they have not had the experience. They don't think it's possible for them, but I'm here to tell you it is possible. And you need to pray, God, speak to me, and that I would know when you speak. And I would pray that all the time. So we don't want to get too busy to hear from God. We want to sit and soak. Sometimes you just have to sit in the presence of God. Now let me tell you, and I'll probably tell you this more than once because this is very important. You're better off reading a section of the Word of God and then meditating on that and seeing that in your mind. Seeing that in your life. Seeing that in your mind. See God working in your life. See God in you killing the giant. See God in you chasing the enemy. See God in you prosperous in Jesus Christ, because it's very clear in the Bible God wants to prosper his kids. It's very clear. Now, I understand there are some missionaries over someplace and they die and they don't seem to prosper, but I'm going to tell you this. There's been missionaries have gone to foreign countries, didn't seem to accomplish anything, and after they die, the seeds they planted bring a great harvest. So there's a lot of people say, well, I didn't seem to do much in life. I talked to a lot of people about the Lord, but I didn't see much action. I prayed for a lot of people, but I didn't see too much. You're planting seeds that when you're gone may rise up in people. And there may be Apostle Paul you talked to and encouraged along the way someplace. Are you listening to me? There's no such thing as God not using his word through you. Now, it takes time to do this. It takes time to meditate. It's like chewing on the word of God. And you give attention in your heart. And I'm going to show you the scripture you need to chew on. Go to John 14. Now, I've seen this. We've talked about this verse a lot of times. John 14 and verse 12. Now, the first thing I want you to do in your Bible when you get there is write your name right there. Write your name right in the Bible, right by that verse. And here's what it says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, he or she that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now this said, if you believe on Christ, the works that he did, you shall do also, and even greater works, because you're going to have longer probably to do it than he did. He only had 3.5 years. Now here's what I do. Okay, what did Jesus do? Well, all you got to do is read through the Gospels and find out. I was reading yesterday, a guy put out, he had a hand all withered up, it was dead. And Jesus said, reach out your hand, and he did, and it became completely whole. I saw Jesus. There was a blind man saying, Jesus, heal me, Jesus, heal me, Jesus, heal me. And everybody told him to shut up. Jesus is too busy. Jesus said, bring him over here. He could see. See yourself praying for the blind, and they see. See that in your imagination. Close your eyes right now and see yourself putting your hand on a blind person, praying for their eyesight, and suddenly they can see. See yourself touching somebody with a broken arm, and suddenly it's healed. See yourself talking to a lost person, and all of a sudden the lights go on and they see the salvation of the Lord. See yourself that somebody that has died, and everybody said, well, they're dead, and you walk over and say, rise in the name of Jesus, and they get up and walk. I'm going to tell you a true story. This is a true story. There was a preacher that was teaching on this verse, and he started telling the congregation, he said, you know, we could pray for the dead and they could rise. And he was going through all that stuff, and all of a sudden a guy got up and he started walking, and he put his hand on his heart and he dropped over right in the service. This is a true story. And so there was a nurse there, and she ran up to the guy and gave him CPR and all this stuff, and finally she said, no, he's dead. So they said, well, call the paramedics. They were right across the street from the church at the fire station, but it took them 25 minutes to get there. So finally, the preacher just walked over to the guy and he said, in the name of Jesus, rise up. And that guy got up, totally healed. And that happened. That's a true story. It happened in a church. And so you say, well, when would I ever have an opportunity to pray for a dead person? You never know. People drop over every place. They, you know, it might be at work, or it might be someplace else. And the only thing that saves them and brings them back to life is you go over and speak the word of Jesus over that person. You say, my goodness, I don't know if I'd ever do that. If it was somebody you loved died, you'd be there real quick. Are you listening to me? Now, I'm not saying we have to go hunt out somebody that's dead, pray for them. I'm saying when God speaks to your heart, do it. Yes. Yes, they might have died lost, and if they come back to life, they're more than likely to accept Christ. Do I hear an amen? Amen. You see, that's the reason for this thing. It isn't to put on a show. It isn't to have your name in the paper, somebody raised so-and-so from the dead. It's to bring that person back so they accept Jesus Christ. That soul's not going to go in eternity and die forever. That's the reason Jesus did these things. He didn't do them for any other reason. It was to glorify the Father. Jesus said, I only do what the Father wants me to do and what the Father wanted him to do. And you have to understand that Jesus did it as a man, not as God. He did it as a man filled with the Holy Spirit of God because he wanted to demonstrate what a person can do that would be obedient to the Father. And the Father would tell, a lot of times he'd go up on a mountainside and he'd pray for an hour. And the Father would show him what he wanted him to do that day. He would show him putting his hands on the blind man. He would show him going by a funeral procession and raising a young boy from the dead. He would see that before it ever happened. He saw it in his imagination, in his heart. And God would show him these things. And then when he would just go through the day, he would see this funeral procession go by, and he said, oh, I'm supposed to go over and pray for that boy. He went over and prayed, and the boy got off that thing alive, you see. And that's the kind of thing. It may not be that dramatic. It might be just something simple thing that God wants you to do. You got to start someplace. Few of us start raising people from the dead. That's not where we start, you understand. But we can start praying for somebody that's got a cold. You can pray for yourself when you got one. You got to start someplace. God, you know, all God asks us to do is what He's asked us to do. He didn't ask you to do anything else. He said, do the works of Jesus. Wherever you are, if you're in church, home, job, wherever it is, do the works of Jesus. Now, so the question is, are you doing those things? But usually we say, oh, you know, I don't think I can do that. There's got to be somebody more spiritual than I am. And you're looking around, who's going to do it? Well, let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, God's in you and you're spiritual. Right. I didn't say everything you're doing's right. I'm saying you can be used of God. Nobody's perfect. The only perfect one I know was Jesus. So you can't use that as an excuse. Well, you know, I didn't go to church Sunday, so I can't pray for this person. Baloney. You ought to be in church, but that's not the issue. I don't hesitate to tell people to go to church. That's where they ought to be. They're God's kids. And it's not because I'm the pastor or anything else. That's just where they ought to be. And so that's the issue. God said right here, he that believes on me, and if you're a Christian, you believe on God, the works that I do, the works that Jesus did, you can do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I'm not going to tell you that somebody dropped dead someplace, that I would just get all excited about running over there and praying for them. But I'm going to tell you I'd do it because that's what Jesus wants me to do. You understand? If I don't know the person, you know, but I would go over and do it anyway. You pray the spirit comes back in their body. You pray that God brings them back. What happens when a person dies? Their spirit leaves the body, but I don't think it immediately goes. I think it's there for somebody to come and pray that that spirit will come back in that body. Now, I'm not telling you there's a time to die, and I'm not telling you that there isn't a time to die, because there is, but we don't always know when it is. So we're going to pray, believing, and if it isn't that person's time to die, they will rise from the dead, and God will be glorified. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you, some people would think what I'm saying is crazy. You know, I'm old enough, I don't care. I'm way past caring what somebody thinks. You see? And I'm going to preach it. If it's in the Bible, I'm going to preach it as long as I can, because that is what I'm supposed to do. But most people don't even start with the small stuff, you know. This is just talking about praying for the sick and that kind of thing. We all ought to be doing that, praying for ourselves. And I'm not against going to doctors. I had to call up my doctor and get something yesterday, and because I wanted to be here today and I wasn't sure I was going to be able to make it. So I called up my doctor and said I needed some medicine. He got it for me, and was able to be here today. I'm not against going to the doctor, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm praying in the name of Jesus. If I hadn't prayed, I might be dead right now. Are you listening? So God can use medicine, use anything he wants to. I'm certainly not opposed to that. But the issue is that I am going to pray whatever the situation is, because I want God involved. You understand? I want God involved in my life. I want God involved in the life of the people I know. I want God to be involved in your life. You see? And you can become a Christian and go to heaven and never hear from God, but it's a whole lot more fun to hear from God.
That's right.
You see. And God is speaking to you, so I'd get in the Word of God, I'd allow God to speak to you, and whatever he's going to do. You know, this day is just the beginning. We're going to see the time, and I think even very quickly, that people, when we give an invitation, they're not going to come down to get healed. They're going to say, I was healed during the worship time.
Right.
They're going to say, I was healed when they were singing about Jesus. They were going to say, I was healed when I heard the word of God preached. God healed me. They're going to come down to give testimonies, not to be prayed for. And that's what you see a lot of times in Benny Hinn meetings and other things. Those people get saved before they ever have an invitation. Because the presence of God was there. We need to pray. The presence of God is here. And the presence of God is your life. The presence of God is here if you walk in having God. You see. And so that's what we're looking. That's what we're looking for. And God in these last days is going to do a lot of miraculous things, because he's bringing in that end time harvest. And when the last one comes, we're out of here and we're going to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's stand before the Lord.